It's still dark out as I sit here on the love seat with my first cup of coffee. It's been a long 7 months since Angie died last February. 7 long, hard months. We used to sit side by side here on the love seat, staring out the window every morning. It was our daily ritual before we got busy with preparing for the day. It didn't matter if it was dark out or dawn. Or full daylight. We usually got up each morning at 6. I'd put on the coffee after turning up the thermostat, depending on the season. I would usually open the drapes and look out the window at the world while waiting for Angie to finish up in our bathroom. When it was my turn to wash up and brush my teeth, she would pour the coffee and take it into the living room. When I joined her on the love seat, we would kiss good morning. We'd then stare out the window in a meditative silence, only broken by the soft sounds of occasional sips of the home-brewed coffee. And invariably, my left hand would be held in her right. For the longest time since her death, I pretended that Angie was still sitting beside me, slowly sipping her coffee. I'd talk to her, telling her about my day's plans or about the latest results of my favorite hockey team or football team. Of course, she couldn't talk to me. She wasn't beside me anymore. I know that I'm alone on the love seat, but I typically don't let that bit of reality get in the way of staying connected with Angie's spirit. As I stared through the window this morning, the sky began to shift in the darkness. Dawn was coming. Since there was a gentle rainfall and the light from the street lamp glistened gold on the wet pavement, the only other light to be seen came from a nightlight left on in the house directly across the street. No one there had yet woken. Soon enough, their lights would turn on and the family would begin their rituals of getting the three kids ready for school. Angie and I had wanted children, but somehow she never got pregnant. Now, with her gone, I didn't even have a part of her in a love child. My coffee's cold. And I needed to move before I got stuck in the love seat. My flight to Toronto was to leave in 5 hours. Intuitively, I knew that I was saying goodbye to both Angie and my life here in Calgary with the flight and its connection to Vienna, Austria. Though I knew I was only going to be gone for about 8 months, my gut was telling me that this was goodbye. I'm on sabbatical. My time really isn't all my own. I'm expected to take the year's leave from teaching at the university, do some research for a series of journal articles, and a book. So far, I haven't done any of the research. Like my coffee, my ambition has cooled off. My teaching at the university has been the only thing that has kept me going, day after day. Angie was supposed to have been going with me to Vienna. We had planned that my year off from teaching would be our second honeymoon. Her career as a journalist allowed her to work from anywhere in the world, work without the need to be in an office. Now, I'll be making this journey alone. I know. I'm feeling sorry for myself. I suppose I should have made an effort to get counseling to deal with my grief. After all, I am a psychologist, a professor of depth psychology at the University of Calgary. I should know better, but I'm also a human, an ordinary guy who's lost the love of his life. Rising from the love seat, I went into the kitchen and dumped a half-filled cup of coffee down the sink. Even this is a ritual, as my coffee often got cold when Angie and I sat together to watch the dawn. She always laughed, telling me that I had once again zoned out. With a sigh, I walked to our bedroom. At some point, I'll have to put on some clothes and get my act together. Life goes on, and she would want it that way.